So good morning, everyone. And yes, our last name has three different forms. So the plural form is Rublevi. Sorry, you're close. So as stated by Joan, Peter and I live in the Czech Republic. We live in a tiny town called Ostrava, which is technically the third largest city in Czech Republic, but it's not that big. So Peter and I are involved with a ministry there that is reaching primarily the youth, but we also just share the gospel with people and have house churches, and we try to reach the Czech people. One of the main things that we do is English camp, where we will invite Americans to come to Czech Republic, and we will have a camp to get kids excited to learn English and also to share the gospel with them. This year, because of COVID, I was the only American. So it was very fun. But usually this English camp is a really great outreach for the youth of Czech Republic, especially in the areas where we have people who are in the cities that we have people connected to our ministry with. So from our English camp this year, Peter was doing mostly the coaching, new leaders and finances and all the technical, logical stuff. And me, as the only American, was, of course, doing all the English lessons. But it was really great. And at the end of camp, we had two girls come to know Christ. And one of them seems to be really, really starting to follow God and really growing and maturing quickly. Her name is Jeanette. You can pray for her. And the other one was a younger girl named Esther. And I'm not sure about her journey, but I know she is connected with another church in her vicinity, so she is growing with them. We also were really excited because we had one of the boys from a couple years ago, maybe 2 years ago, he accepted Christ. He went home, he told his mom that he accepted Christ, and his mom's like, no, you can't follow Jesus, you can't accept Christ. And because of that, she's a very strong atheist. He really cut ties with everyone and was like, I can't have anything to do with you guys, but I'll come to English camps. And so this year, we found out that he has actually been following Jesus in secret. I don't think his mom knows at all, but he's becoming more public about it. And so you can be praying for him that he would be brave and bold in his faith to share with his mom and with the rest of his family. Peter and I are ministry plans for the future. Right now, we're planning on starting an in-depth Bible study for some of our fellow believers who just need something deeper in their Christian life. We have really seen a deep need for this, that people just really want to go deeper. So we've been planning something, but of course, we came to the States, so it's all on hold until we get back. And I have been discipling one girl, and I don't know. I think that, and we continue to work with our ministry in Frýdek-Místek, which is about 30 minutes from Ostrava. We are doing God's Families, which is what we call our house churches, and we do discoveries where we meet with unbelievers and share the gospel with them and read the Bible, and then we also do outreach with them as well, though it's very difficult to do in this time. And one of the ways that we are working on outreach, which I will let Peter share about, is a really cool, fun way online that is basically ads for Jesus. So I'll let him carry on with that.
Good morning. So as Susanna mentioned, the way how I'm involved in the ministry is through the online services. And if you remember, maybe some of you, half a year ago, we were on this screen and telling you about this project that we are starting. It's called Media to Movement. I will just quickly sum it up. and go to what's going on in this project. And also I'll mention the ways how you can contribute in this. The main point of media to movement is that there are many people outside who might not know anyone who is believer, who is walking their life with Jesus. And sometimes when they are struggling with their life, when they're going through some rough times, they might be seeking online for spiritual questions. They might be looking for, why is the world the way it is? Why am I experiencing this? And this whole Media to Movement project is targeted for those people. Our goal is to create content that is talking about these hard times. They're talking about these hard times and how God can provide the answers for these difficult questions, and how Jesus can be a huge support in rough times. And we were doing this project for about almost a year. It's right now since first mention of this project. And we had really great mentors from Bosnia. He's actually American, but he is in Bosnia for many years. And he was mentoring this projects across the whole Europe. And he gave us a lot of instructions, and he guided us through this process of implementation and how to do it. And so we've been posting the posts, we've been talking with people, and as you might probably guess, we have a lot of good reactions, a lot of people who are posting like good comments, like amen on our posts. But we are also dealing with a lot of, I would say, anger, with a lot of misunderstanding. And as we are posting these posts, as we are just learning what Czech people are looking for, we are realizing that all of these content that they provided to us, because they did provide a lot of things for us, we are getting to conclusion that we need to start building our own content, that we need to write about problems that regular Czech people have, that our regular Czech people are coming through. And even though it's kind of similar culture with Bosnians and Czechs, we are realizing that in these deep struggles that people are going through, it's very different. So our current stage is that we have one girl from our ministry who is helping us to write writing articles that talk about something that is more close to the Czech people. So we are discovering through the comment, we are looking for what people are responding to. Where do we see those people opening up and sharing a little more about their lives? We are looking for those topics, and we are trying to develop more content around these topics. And as a second thing, what we realize that we also need to give people some challenge, because we heard one story from one guy from Brno. It's the second largest city. It's about 3 hours away from where we live. And he just, on his own, he just put some ads in a Facebook with like call to action, like, who wants to read the Bible with me? And surprisingly enough, he got about 7 people who just like reach out to him and start reading a Bible with him. And some of them were already believers, some of them were far away from believers, some of them were maybe caught. We have a lot of Catholic culture in Czech Republic, and people might be going to church but without really understanding what is it about. So he got like this spectrum of people there, and he just started reading a Bible with them. So we talk about it in our team, and we're like, hey, why won't we do the same? So right now we are working on a page that will just quickly introduce the Discovery Bible Study idea to them and give them an action, call to action. Like, hey, if you want to read a Bible with us, just give us your name, give us your email, and just join. So that's what we are working on currently. And I will maybe mention what is my role in all of that, because I'm working as a web designer. My main job in whole our Media to Movement thingy is that I'm creating websites, I'm editing them, I'm thinking about how people will be using them. So I'm placing different elements there and trying to make them work the best for our cause. And I will probably just show you now what we have, what we are working on, and then I will mention the ways how you can join our ministry. So let me see if I can share the screen. Cool, can we see it? Oh, yes. So I just so you know, this is like quick Google Translate translation of our website. So keep it like just, yeah. So this is our previous website. It's just very briefly talking about what our project Objevcestu is about. And it's also offering people to get the Bible. So as simultaneously as we are putting content online about the spiritual questions, we are also giving people opportunity to reach out for us, and we will either meet with them and give them the Bible or send the Bible via post office. And a few months ago, we had a meeting with our mentor, and he said, like, that's like nice website, but people cannot really explore it much. We don't offer that much to them. So right now we are in a stage of developing a more complex website where there is little more explanation of what we are doing, what we are aiming for, how we are planning to use the content for reaching out to people, and how they can actually, through their struggle, find and meet Jesus. Also, we are having this Discovery Bible call to action page. So we are just, let's wait for a translation. So we are just explaining what the Discovery Bible is. We are creating video that will just very briefly introduce the idea, how it looks, that few people meet together, read Bible. We are trying to point out few like greatest thing about Discovery. There will be again the video. We are talking about the benefits, because in Czech Republic there are many people who are missing deeper relationships, who just don't have anyone who they can talk about what they're really experiencing in their life. So we will share this. Also, there's our experiences from people who already have been in a Discovery. There will be our friends, I think, personal story from Discovery, and just call to action, sign up, join us, and experience it. So, and there is one more thing what we are working on, and it's just the page where they can get the Bible. So we are offering either get online Bible, you can download it right now into your phone, or you can meet with us, or we will send it to you. So that's what we are working now on. And as a part where you can join and help our ministry, there are actually three ways how you can do it. And one of those, they're all mentioned on your church website. If you go to mission and missions, Peter and Susanna. And one of those ways is you can pray for us, because Czech Republic is very mixed environment with a lot of, I would say, Eastern religion, a lot of this positive thinking and space, and people are mixing everything together, and it's making the ministry sometimes really hard, because people don't distinguish between Jesus as the one who died for us and everything else, that they will just mix it all together. So we'll be really glad for prayers. You can go to prayforcheck.com. There's a link. And what you can do, you can just wait for it to load. Oh, I don't know if my internet is not working correctly. I will just show it in Czech, but it's the same in English. You can just go to our page, and here is a little form where you can just put in your name or an email, and you will receive weekly prayer requests for what we are doing in Czech. Or the other two ways are that you can contribute financially on our project. And one of those ways is through Global Partners Online. And if you contribute on this project, it actually goes towards the expenses related with advertisements or with the tools that we need to have for building the websites and measuring things, or sometimes when we have some volunteers who are putting some extra effort into the project, we agreed on them that we might support their work partially. Or the last way how you can support us is through my work on the project, and it's from m2m.ruble.online. There's a link, and if you support on this project, it goes basically, you're freeing my time so I can have more time to actually spend building the website and going through analytics and seeing how people are using the website. So whichever way you would want to contribute, I will leave it up to you and prayers. And if you will have any questions, you can just find me after the service and we can talk more. Thank you very much.
Hey, before we let you go, let's pray together for Peter and Susanna and for the whole Czech nation. Lord, thank you for the great privilege of being part of what you're doing in the Czech Republic to draw people to Christ our Savior. And in his name, we ask you to strengthen Peter and Susanna. Thank you for bringing them together as husband and wife for your higher purposes through them and through other disciples who are serving you there. Lord, may the gospel go out in great power in these days for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thanks, Peter.
Thanks.
Maybe touch those lights down for the video.
그것은 북한에서는 세상에서 가장 나쁜 사람들은 예수 믿는 사람들이라고 했고, 또 선교사나 목사들은 양의 가죽을 쓴 승냥이들이라. 신앙을 가지게 된 것은 저희 남편 때문이었습니다. 이렇게 해서 아들이 와서 기도, 아버지가 기도하라고 했고 예수님을 믿으라고 했다고, 우리 아버지가 믿는 예수님도 좋은 분일 거라고 해서 그때부터 우리는 기도하기 시작을 했습니다. 아, 이렇게 아들이 손을 잡아당기고 거기다가 예수님을 믿어라, 예수님은 눈으로는 볼 수 없지만 예수님은 확실히 계시고 일을 하신다. 북성대에서 감옥에서 안기부 간첩으로 몰려가지고 그 복음을 전하고, 밤에는 몰래 복음을 전하고 아픈 사람 기도해주고, 그러면서 이제 거기서 그렇게 그런 사역을 할 때 하나님께서 그 사람을 통해서 그 감옥에다가 지하교회를 세워주셨어요. 저희 남편은 정말 나는 이제 죽어도 천국이 천국 소망이 있기 때문에 이제 죽어도 나는 이 세상에 아쉬울 것이 없다고 그냥 그런 이야기를 했다고 그래요. 감옥에 있을 때 특히 감옥에서 정말 많은 사람들이 옆에서 죽어가고, 항상 주님께서 내 마음에 기둥이 되고 내 마음에 등대가 되어주시고, 주가 나를 푸른 세상에 누리시며 실망한 물가로 인도하십니다. 나유 소생시키시며 자기 이름을 위하여 의 길로 인도하십니다. 내가 사망의 음침한 골짜기로 다닐지라도 해를 두려워하지 아니할 것은 주께서 나와 함께 하십니다. 말씀으로 나를 위로해 주시고 힘을 주고 내가 거기서 무사히 나올 수가 있었고 하나님으로 정말 주 뜻에 합당한 정말 모든 기도가 응답되고 그 나라에도 신앙의 자유가 온 날이 있을 줄로 믿으면서 정말 그 날을 기다리는 인내하면서 우리가 하고 그래서 항상 이 노래를 부를 때마다 자꾸 이렇게 눈물이 흐르게 되죠. 주님 우리가 너무 감사해가지고 나 같은 죄인 살리신 주 은혜 고마워 생명 찾았고 광명을 얻었네.
In our humanness, in our flesh, the idea of imagining what it would be like to be in prison with a Christian brother or a sister is not comfortable. It's not something that we gravitate toward. We kind of are repelled by it in our humanness, in our flesh. But I just want to reference the scripture that Joan mentioned in her prayer, Hebrews 13:3, remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. So the Holy Spirit directs us to go there, even in our flesh, even though in our flesh we don't want to. I understand that. I get it. I'm right with you in that. But our Lord wants us to, on some emotional level, to connect with what they must be going through. I know it's not easy, but I just want to appeal to you to let yourself go there for this time this morning. I also want to reference two other verses, one that made a real impression on me this week. Of course, I was familiar with it. You probably are too. It's where Jesus, he's speaking to the woman at the well, and he says this, God is spirit. I was looking at some verses this week about the Trinity and being able to explain to a person about the Trinity. Well, the Bible says God is spirit, okay? So I'm reading this verse. God is spirit. Yeah, I know that. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And if we could just for a moment expand our definition, we usually think of, well, this is our worship time and now this is the preaching time, that worship is this narrow time in a church service where we're singing. Okay, now worship is over. Now let's move on to the next thing. And I just want to encourage us to think more broadly that our worship is anything connected to our connection with God, our service to God. Because this is a distasteful thing in our humanness, we might tend to kind of, let's just kind of get through this because this is we do this once a year, so let's just kind of get it over with. It's kind of a painful topic. But I just want to encourage you to really engage in your spirit. It's not just a matter of letting the people come up front and lead us in prayer and just kind of nodding, okay, move on. But really in your spirit, I really want to encourage you to pray along. And I just appeal to you, please, please, please don't just be a spectator this morning. Sometimes ministry can be that way in churches where the people up front are, they're kind of doing the spiritual thing and the people in the chairs just kind of sit and watch. No, this is your opportunity to also engage. Do you think you're praying along with them in your heart and mind and saying amen? Does that mean anything? I think it does. I think it really does. It's really significant. God wants to hear your prayer in addition to the person who's actually up here verbalizing. Then one last is Isaiah 29:13. This people draws near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. And we're in danger of falling into that, even as Christians. This was about the Jews, but we're in danger of lapsing into just, oh, we're going through the motions and the people up front are praying. No, you pray with them in your heart and mind. I just want to encourage you, hang in there. I know it's hard because we're going to spend the next 30 minutes in prayer as people lead us. It's hard to stay engaged. I just want to appeal to you. Let's not be constrained by the form of our meeting. I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you because I can see what's up front, what's happening. Sometimes some of you kind of nod out a little bit. That's not a criticism. I've been there. Yes, I have. I've actually nodded off when I've heard people been sitting in an audience like you. Oh, yes, I have. Look, if you need to get up and walk around to stay awake, stay engaged, go ahead and do that. No one, well, I don't care. Maybe other people care. I don't think anyone cares. I would rather you stay engaged. However you need to do that, stay connected in your spirit so you can be praying along with the people who are leading us in prayer. Let's not let this be rote religion, okay? Let's really engage today. So, Ginger, why don't you come up and lead us. We're by the way, we are using Open Doors, two main ministries, Voice of the Martyrs and Open Doors. Open Doors every year puts out the 50 top countries in the world that are the main perpetrators against persecuting Christians. We're not going to take time to go through all 50. We just took the top 10. So that's what we're doing. But I would encourage you later on, if you want to download the app, text the word prayer to 32500, 32500. You'll get the voice or the Open Doors app so you can be praying throughout the year for persecuted Christians. 32500, text the word prayer. But for now, we're going to hit these top 10 countries. So, Ginger, lead us with the first one.
Thank you, Jack. So you saw the video on North Korea right there and how horrible those prisons are. My information tells me that if you're in North Korea and you're discovered to be a believer, many of them do keep their faith in secret. If you're discovered to be a Christian, that you're arrested, you might be killed instantly or you would be sent to prison. And you might be sent to prison for like 4 years or something, but you're not expected to come out alive. You can see from the video how horrible it is to be in prison, and people are regularly, every day, dying of hunger there because they're not fed well. And if they're doing that kind of work in the mines and whatnot too, I'm sure that's very difficult. So not only that, if you were discovered to be a Christian, your family also would be sent to prison. And I just, that's, talk about the pressure. If you're a Christian and you're discovered, your whole family also in prison, and your family members might not even be Christians. So what kind of pressure is that to know that you might be putting your family in danger? It would really be a challenge to put the Lord first, to devote yourself not only for your own life, but can you devote yourself to the Lord knowing that you may be putting your own family in danger? Well, I was thinking about that, and I myself have two sisters, and my younger sister and I, we share the faith a lot, and so we've become very close over the last few years as we share our faith over the phone. And I cannot imagine my sister, my younger sister, being discovered and hauled off to a prison like that, and alone, and, you know, not expected to survive. I was thinking how awful that would be and how I would want to be praying for her every day. And you know, my sister is in that prison. Your sister too, and our brothers, they're in that prison. And so I'd ask you to pray with me. Let's pray for those, our brothers and sisters who are in North Korean prison, shall we? Dear Jesus, we pledge our hearts to you, and our lives are in your hands, and yet here we don't understand that nearly as well as our brothers and sisters in North Korea. Their lives every day are in your hands and at your mercy, and any moment possibly snuffed out because they believed in your name. Lord, we ask you to gather here. We ask you to hold up our sister in prison, our brother in prison. When they feel alone, wrap them in your comfort. And Holy Spirit, I pray, settle in and around them that they know your presence. I pray that in their minds, fill their thoughts with the knowledge that they're not alone, but you're with them. And I pray also that you bring to their memory what they've learned of you from the scripture. I don't know how much scripture they may have. It'd probably be very difficult to get a Bible. But we pray, Lord, that you would nevertheless fill them with the surety of your goodness, the knowledge of God's love, the experience of God's love, even in those circumstances. And Lord, when our brother is hungry and the pangs of hunger hurt and bring fear, I pray you'd fill him with thoughts of you. Jesus, you told your disciples once that doing the Father's will was food for you. And everyone was confused because they knew that your body was in need of physical food at that time. So I pray, Lord, that you would fill our brothers and sisters with the understanding that serving you is food for them. And how do they serve when they're in the prison? Well, in the video we saw that sharing with other prisoners is one thing. Perhaps simply by believing and holding fast to their faith and their belief in you. Ultimately, they'll have an understanding of God's love beyond what any of us will have because they truly are sharing in the suffering of Christ. I can't understand that. Perhaps they do. I pray, Lord, that they will find joy in their connection with you through their suffering. A joy I don't understand, but which the Apostle Paul testified to. He also suffered much, and he talked about having joy in sharing the sufferings of Christ. So I pray, Lord, for that joy in our brothers and sisters in the North Korean prisons. I pray, Lord, that their joy would be beyond their own understanding. Joy that other people would see and they'd wonder about. Joy that others would want. And ultimately, joy that would bring opportunities for our brothers and sisters to share the gospel with others, no matter what circumstances that they're in. And at the same time, Lord, we ask you to relieve our brothers and sisters from the terrible suffering. We ask you for mercy and grace, and most of all, that you give them a strong foundation in the knowledge of your love and your care for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Sharing the gospel in prison is not an option in Afghanistan. If you express faith in Christ, you have two options: flee the country or die. You can't hide with your family, you can't hide with your friends, because they got to turn you in or die too. When I got the paper for Afghanistan, I mean, there's a lot we could say. But I recall when it happened, I was reading a news article, and I was watching a video about planes that were taking off the day that the Taliban took over, and the planes were covered in people who would run and grab onto the planes and hang on for dear life because they were that desperate to leave. And you can imagine that most of them didn't hang on for very long. Christians, non-Christians, regular people are desperate to leave, because if you do something that the people in charge there don't like, you die. You say something out of line, you die. You express faith, you're a target. They don't like that, they hate you. Their goal is to take you out. And what a world to live in. And even if you decide to flee the country, they're going to try and stop you. They make it difficult on purpose. You can imagine to be in a place like that. I was with my friend yesterday, and we were talking about Job, and you know, Job suffered like that too. We all know, you know, what happened to him. And he stuck through it. He had his doubts, he had his days, like any one of us would, any person over there would. But he stuck through it, and he was rewarded for his righteousness. He could never be granted back what he lost, but what he gained was greater than what he had. And the same is true for those people who are suffering, who are at risk of dying, who have already died for faith in Christ. They stick through it, and their reward will be great. Maybe in this life, maybe in the next. But they can't gain back what they, you know, they're not going to gain back a lot of what they lost, but what they will gain will be far greater. So I just want to take the minute I just want to take a minute to pray about their faith, and how God could work, and that despite all the obstacles, that the seeds of the Spirit and the seeds of the gospel and the seeds of Christ will be present nonetheless. So let's take a moment and pray. Lord, we pray for people suffering unimaginably. We pray for those who are in persecution, who are at risk of dying, who've been turned on by their families and friends, that you would keep their eyes fixed on you, that they would not lose sight of what it is they are, that they're fighting for, essentially. I pray that you would work in the hearts of those doing the persecution. We are to pray for our enemies and bless those who persecute us. I pray that those people in charge, the Taliban, ISIS, that you would work in their hearts, that in some way your message would shine through and that your gospel would be shared. We pray that ultimately everything that happens there, that you would use it for your own glory, and that people there won't be able to deny your name and your moving hand. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. My country that I get to pray for and share about is Somalia. And let me just tell you a little bit about it. Life in Somalia is very similar to Afghanistan. There's a lot of persecution, but I had to kind of look it up to make sure I knew exactly where it was at. It's in the continent of Africa. It's known as the Horn of Africa, and there's about 16 million people there, and it's about the size of Texas and twice as big as Poland. Actually, Texas has 26 million people, and they have about 16 million. And as a physical therapist, I've had the privilege to treat quite a few Somalians in the community, and they're just different. They dress, they look different, they wear head dressings, and so, but they're believers in Christ in Somalia and also here in America. And we have about 60,000 Somalians in Columbus. A lot of them live around the Morse Road area, and so, you know, I think God had something big in store to bring a lot of them here to America to allow us to share the gospel with them. But let me share a few more things. If you live in Somalia, the main religion is Islam. And if you are suspected of converting to Islam there, then you've just more or less signed your death warrant, just like in the other two countries. And in addition, members of a believer's family, their clan, or community will also be harassed, intimidated, or even killed. Now, if you're a female that converts over, then the chances of you being raped or forced to marry someone that's of the faith is very high. And so some of the verses that I just wanted to share with you is about persecution, because if you're a believer and you understand the word, you realize that you will be persecuted someday. And so I wanted to share some of those. In John 15:20, it says, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will also keep yours. Another verse is Matthew 10:23. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. And then Luke 21:12, but before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, and delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. And then in Romans 12:14, it says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. And I think that's probably one of the hardest things to do, is to know that you're going to be persecuted for sharing your faith. And there are people in Somalia that have done this. And we have quite a few of them here in our backyard. So if we ever run across those people, we need to be aware that if we are willing to share our faith, we can help those people, that Somalia population, to know and love the Lord and hopefully come back to their own country and be able to share the gospel. So the things that I'd like to pray for are several, but if you could pray with me. My first one is, Lord, I pray for the families of Somalia believers that have been murdered in your name, and I pray that they would be comforted and would be healed from any bitterness. And I pray for a strong church to grow among the Somalia people, especially here in America and throughout their country, relying on Jesus with a hunger and a thirst for the word of God. I pray that those who have killed Christians will see the truth and be convicted. And so as I pray for these fellow brothers and sisters of Christ, I just ask that you would encourage them and give them joy and confidence that what they're doing is right and the truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I honestly didn't know very much about it other than what I remember from the 80s, all the unrest happened in the 80s. That has continued. It never ended. It's just continued to be more and more unrest through the years. Of course, it's being taken over by ISIS, Islamic militants. They're basically ruling the country, as well as anarchy groups just kind of take over and just mass murder in the streets. And it's just complete unrest there. It's interesting that on this sheet that I got, the population is about 6.5 million. There's about 34,500 Christians. But this note here was really what got my attention. It said that only an estimated 150 Christians in Libya are indigenous. The rest are all expatriates or migrant workers. That's amazing to me. I mean, that's, so there's, you know, 0.5% of the population is Christian, which is very small, but only 150 of those are estimated to be indigenous to the country. So it's a really difficult place for these people. Those who are there, who are Christians, they're mostly underground church. There's a lot of online churches that have grown up. I appreciate what Peter said. It's really important to have that presence there, because that's where people are connecting. Sometimes that's the only way. There's no Bibles. There's no, they can't proclaim their faith publicly. They'll be killed. So pray that these online communities will flourish there as well, because that's how some of these People are only, it's the only way they can really connect with each other right now. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, this just like the other countries we've already heard about so far, Lord, these are very difficult area, Lord, and these people who are, that you're Christians, that your people, Lord, are there, Lord, our brothers and sisters, Lord, they are in immense trouble and fear for their lives every day and their families, Lord. Lord, I pray that you raise up leaders among them that are bold, that you protect these leaders as well, Lord God, that you have a blind eye of those who are trying to persecute them, Lord, that they actually just don't even see them as they go by the streets. Lord, be with them and be with these communities that are springing up online, Lord, that they can encourage each other and grow in their faith and their families and spread to others, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'll be praying for Pakistan. It's a country of 208 million, a little less than the U.S. here. It's internationally known for its unfair blasphemy laws. It's known for persecution of Christians, which comprise about almost 2% of the population, about 4 million. There are extreme... There is extreme persecution in all aspects of life for believers, especially those that convert from Islam. And they're considered second-class citizens. So much of the same story that we've heard from, you know, about the other countries. Girls are that become Christians are at risk of abduction and rape, and often forced to marry their attackers and coerced into converting to Islam. So I was thinking about, you know, why is all this happening? And this wouldn't be happening if Christians weren't a threat. They're a threat to someone. Guess what? It's our enemy, Satan. So Ephesians 6 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So these words were penned by Paul, and guess from where? Prison. So he was under persecution at the time, and this is the mindset of one who is under persecution. It should be the mindset of one. And so Paul's advice to us is to give, or with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul didn't pray that he would be released from prison. He prayed that he would have boldness. And so... that's some of the things, one of the things we need to pray for believers about. Just that they would have boldness to speak. Let's go ahead and pray for that right now. Lord, I do pray for these believers in Pakistan. Pray that you would give them wisdom and understanding and boldness and words, Lord, effective words, Lord. They may be harmless as doves, but
wise as serpents, Lord, and be able to effectively minister to others, spread the good news of your kingdom, and that the strongholds of the enemy would be broken down in this country, Lord. It's just a stronghold there that needs to be torn down. And we pray that you will give them the right words in whatever circumstances they're in. We pray for the Christians that may be in prison right now and that are suffering greatly, Lord, that they will find peace and the sufficiency of God's grace in the midst of their circumstances. And that in their weakness, Lord, you would be strong on their behalf. We pray for Christians that are under these conditions, Lord, that they would be able to draw strength from you, Lord, that you would protect your people, you would protect your church, and that it would go forth victoriously in that land. In Jesus' name, amen.
The country that I'll be praying for is Eritrea, located in East Africa. And much like the other persecuted countries, it's really praying for them to grow in their faith and love as they go through persecution. Pray for wisdom, and for them especially as they deal with their government and the Orthodox Church that is the source of their persecution as well. And also praying for the physical needs of their families as they are imprisoned. So let's go before the Lord and pray for our brothers and sisters in Eritrea. Lord, we come before you again for another country, another group of people that is being persecuted, people that hate you, hate your word, rejecting you, and want to squash your work. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen our brothers and sisters there, give them growing faith and love, peace and courage and all that they need to face the persecution and struggles and suffering, sadness and hurt they go through. Lord, we pray for wisdom as they are dealing with the government and how they would seek religious freedom, that they would have the right words, the right ways to deal with what they're going through. And Lord, especially the families, the physical needs that need to be met, that they need to be provided for as well. We thank you, Lord, as we have so much provision in our lives, Lord. We have so much blessing. Lord, we pray for them, our brothers and sisters there that are in need, and especially as their loved one is taken captive or taken away or even killed, Lord, that they need to be provided for. So we pray for them. We pray that you would rise up in us, perhaps ways that we could do that as well. We thank you so much, God, for what you are doing and those that are following you, that the gospel is going forth, and we pray that you would just strengthen our brothers and sisters there during the persecution they are going through, and that, Lord, we can continue to come alongside them in prayer and even support in ways that we could do that. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
The next country we're going to be praying for this morning is Yemen, which is on the very tip, southern tip of the Arabian Peninsula. Like every other country before, before me here today, converting to Christianity is a crime punishable by death. And families consider it incredibly shameful for any family member to become a Christian. So I was reminded of these words in Matthew today, chapter 10. It says, "Do not think I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword," which kind of goes against what we think. We tend to think peace on earth, goodwill toward men, but Jesus said he came to bring a sword. "For I came to set man against his father and daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Those are very strong words, especially in those countries where the consequences are so great. But the encouraging thing is, even though, I forget exactly, I think there are 30 million people total in Yemen, there are estimated to be a few thousand Christians, But it's very exciting because the gospel has flourished in many ways, and many Muslims have come to know Christ. Yemeni Christians have become bolder in their outreach efforts, wiser, more creative, and the gospel is spreading even in the midst of such darkness. And so there's both, praying for the gospel to flourish, but also for those who are suffering the great consequences of having received the gospel. But one thing, as I watched those planes take off also from Afghanistan, I realized the difference between them and us is they realized when they came to Christ, this may cost me my life, and they're aware of that, and in some ways we're not. So in some ways we can learn from them today, those who realize, when I accept Christ, I don't know what will happen. Let's pray that we might also be willing to give everything for Christ. So I do pray that today, Lord. I thank you for those saints who are suffering and who have maybe never even heard that verse, but have these verses about turning from family. But they're willing because you are worth it all. And I thank you for their faith, and I pray for them as they endure the consequences of such a country, of such a regime as where they live. May we learn from them and support them and pray for them as though we were in prison with them. We do. We ask you for, I thank you so much listening to that North Korean woman recite Psalm 23. And maybe that was the only passage she knew, I don't know, but your word strengthens and gives us hope and is a strong tower in times of trouble. May we, as we've been learning, hide the word in our hearts, and that we might not sin against you. And I pray that the word, you would be bringing the word to believers who are imprisoned, who are suffering in Yemen. Bring that word to their mind again to strengthen them to be that strong tower. I pray that you would help them. You would give them boldness. They would not fear, but rather know that you are with them in this dark valley. I remember the words of Corrie ten Boom, who suffered in the concentration camps. She said, there is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. I thank you that that's true. And I pray for my brothers and sisters in Yemen that they would know that today and every day until you come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Those of you who are near my age will know about Iran. It's ruled by an Ayatollah. It has a population of over 83 million people. Back in the late 70s, when Muslims took over the country's government, they took Americans hostage for a period of time. And we're hoping that that doesn't happen in Afghanistan. The Christian population is about 800,000, so significant, but less than 1% of the population there. Thank you. One of the key things about being a Muslim is when you become a Christian, you endanger your family, and that's true for many families in Iran, that if you convert to Christianity, your family will disown you and you'll put your life in danger. There is a special prison called the Evin prison in Iran, which is known as the torture factory. And so we should pray for these people. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to pray. We know that we are not heard for our many words. God, I think of how really when we pray in these situations, it's really for our sake, because you know what we need even before we ask. Lord, this is an opportunity for us to identify with our brothers and sisters who are suffering, Lord, because suffering is really part of following Jesus. It's really the norm for people who follow Jesus, because we have an enemy. John tells us that this entire world is in the control of the evil one. So, Lord, we are we, the church, the body of Christ, are to be together as one, praying for one another, those who are suffering, those who are, by your grace, experiencing peace at this time. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity today that we have a chance to remember the prisoners, to remember the people who are suffering. And Lord, know that we are not immune to that. God, to remember that that is our lot here in life, is to suffer with you. It is a privilege when the blessings of knowing Christ are mentioned in the word. It says, and also sufferings. And so, Lord, we just want to, in some sense, Lord, link with these people who are being persecuted in Iran. Pray for those who have not heard the gospel. I just think of Muslims who you have, even ones that we know, Lord, here in our church, that you have brought the gospel to in seemingly impossible ways. We just pray for those people who have not heard the gospel in Iran. We pray for a revival in Iran. We pray for those who are being persecuted. We pray for those who are the enemies, who are the persecutors, Lord, that you would have mercy on them. Just as you had mercy on Saul, Lord, I pray that you would have mercy on these persecutors. We would pray for our enemies, that we would not hate them, but we would love them with the love that you loved your enemies. Me, Lord, on the cross, you loved me, your enemy, and that's your great love, and we just pray for that great love for others in Jesus' name.
We're going to pray for Nigeria. For those of you who are not too familiar with Africa, you've got a part that kind of seems to go up and a part that kind of seems to go over, and right there in the center where it looks like there's a 90-degree angle, that's where Nigeria is. It's about 200 million people. There is a democracy, but the government is very weak and is not standing up to radical Islam militants, and as a result, there are several different groups. For example, you might be familiar with Boko Haram. They will go into a Christian village, slaughter the men, and then abduct the girls for basically ransom money. There is a desperate need there for our prayers today. So please, let's intercede together for Nigeria, where I'll just say one more thing. The most Christians dying for their faith on planet Earth right now, that nation is Nigeria. But I know that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So let's take it to the Lord together. Lord God, I know your will is that the gospel would move forward in Nigeria. Lord, I pray first of all for the widows and the orphans in Nigeria, that they would have their needs met by those who are in the church and those who are in the community, Lord God, that they would not be struggling because so many Christian men have been killed. Lord, I pray for President Buhari, that he would come to faith in Christ, and that from there, Lord, you would stiffen his spine so that he would run the government effectively. Lord, I pray for Boko Haram and the other Islamic militant groups. Lord, my desire is not that you would smite them, but that they would turn to you. Lord, I pray that there would be missionaries sent to these militant groups that would go in your love and with signs and wonders, and that these people who were once your enemies would be your children. Lord, I pray for the nation of Nigeria today. Lord, we stand in the gap for them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Of the 1,383,198,000 people in India, less than 5% are followers of Jesus Christ. No other country in the world has a greater concentration of unreached and frontier peoples than the country of India. Half the population of all the frontier peoples live in India. All the people of the world, the frontier peoples of the world, half of them live in India. And 90% of all the people of India live in unreached people groups. So they have not heard this. That means that they have never heard the good news that Jesus Christ paid the price to reconcile them to God, and that he's ready to set them free from a religion that is Hinduism, that relegates many of them to desperate poverty, treats the lower class with contempt, and devalues women and children, to say the least. No other country in the world has such a diverse and complex society with thousands of different communities, all separated by caste, language, and religion. Each of these communities will likely need a separate movement of disciple-making and church planting, thereby making India the greatest challenge to world evangelization. The vast majority of Indians are Hindus and believe that all Indians should be Hindu. So extremist Hindus seek to eradicate Christianity and Islam from India. Especially Hindus who decide to believe in and follow Christ are physically attacked and have their businesses boycotted, leaving them unable to earn income and feed their families. We have a special connection to India in that our beloved brother, Mike Cater, and his wife, Sue, who helped plant this church, for years have, with their Run Global teams, are some of many who have obeyed Jesus' great commission to go and make disciples in the nation of India. Praise God, they were able to plant 3 discipleship training centers in India before they were forced to leave. And these centers continue to virally spread the gospel throughout India. But this also provokes the enemy to retaliate. Jesus warned his disciples, "They will lay their hands on you and persecute you." And Peter wrote, "Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you that has come upon you for your testing," as though some strange thing were happening to you. This is, he let us know to expect this. But he also continued, to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. And he goes on a little later to say, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name, let him glorify God. So from the October newsletter from Mike and Sue in India, I want to read. Dear partners, persecution by Hindu radicals has intensified across India. This is last month. All 6 of our Indian teams and their disciples are suffering from the threats, slander, and intimidation of radicals. Often the police side with the radicals against the believers. Their spies are attending church meetings, pretending to be Christians, while they gather names and information and give it to the attackers. Last week, one of our team members was beaten badly. More and more, evangelism must be done secretly. Discovery Bible study groups open, but some immediately close after being reported and then harassed. Most of our team members don't have motorbikes, and it's hard to escape on foot. So, so let's pray for them. That's all I have to say about the facts. Some of the requests that Mike and Sue have sent are here, so I'll pray for those first. Lord, I thank you that you love all those all those billions of people in India. You created them, and you created them for relationship with yourself, and you paid the price to redeem them. Even the persecutors. So we pray for them first. Lord, we pray that as they witness the humility and love of your saints, your followers in India, I pray that would just pierce their hearts with the truth of the gospel, that there's a God of love in heaven who would redeem them too. And I pray that it would break their hearts and draw them into your kingdom. I pray you'd give great wisdom and discernment and courage to the believers there as they face persecutors, some maybe in their own families and certainly in their own villages, to know how to represent you to them, Lord, and to make the gospel known to them. And we pray for the continued viral spread of the gospel there, Lord, that it would run rapidly through that land and be glorified, that those who would persecute will be able to hear and repent. Then we pray, too, for the persecuted believers. Lord, strengthen them as they go through these sufferings. I pray that you'd bring your word, your promises, to their minds, even supernaturally. Maybe they don't have access to a Bible, but I pray you'd speak your word into their hearts, that you're standing with them, and that to the degree that they share in your sufferings, that they would be able to rejoice, that you'd give them a vision of the reward in heaven awaiting them, that you would just even physically, emotionally, spiritually, strengthen those believers. And I pray that you'd provide for them. I know a lot of them are in poverty, just living from day to day and not even having enough for each day. And I pray that you would just, I remember so many stories of you providing, miraculously providing for your people. And I pray that this would be happening for them as well. And I pray that they will know when and where to flee. You said there's a time to flee, and I pray that they would discern that, or that they would have courage but wisdom as well. I pray they wouldn't be lose their courage, Lord, but that you would just give them power by your Holy Spirit. And I pray that power, those miracles, that love, that unity among your people would revolutionize India, Lord, and bring so many Hindus into your kingdom that you are glorified there, Lord, for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you to the 10 of you who led us in prayer today. I have a couple of quick announcements before I let you go. One is that we had a movie trailer we were going to show you, but we've already gone over. So it has to do with Sabina Wormbrand. Some of you will recognize that name. He has really spearheaded a ministry to help people understand what's going on with persecuted Christians, because he himself was persecuted. So there's a movie called Sabina, maybe. Yeah, no, I know, but I think it's SabinaMovie.com. Go there, SabinaMovie.com. Mike Spurlock's Life Group, in lieu of a meeting this Tuesday night, we're going to all meet at Marcus Theater at 7 o'clock to watch the movie, so you're welcome to take part in that. There's very limited showings. It's only going to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I think, one showing each day at 7 p.m. So Mike's group is Tuesday night at 7 for the SabinaMovie.com. Speaking of Mike, he asked me to announce that Friday and Saturday he has some work. He needs help with moving some cement blocks. So if you need a workout Friday and or Saturday, see Mike. Or if you just want to show Mike how strong you are, I doubt you're stronger than he is, but go for it. A couple other quick announcements. Money's being raised to send boxes to overseas with Operation Christmas Child. So candy, Buckeyes, and calendars are available at $9 and $12 each, respectively. Collection Week, National Collection Week, starts a week from tomorrow and goes to the following Monday, and help is needed with that. So see Jeff Hutchison or Lale if you can help with National Collection Week. Open Mic Sunday is 2 weeks from today, and we hope you will be considering, because I'm not going to be speaking, Ashley, the other elders. It's going to be your opportunity to get up. We're going to ask you to share the keep in mind the five B's of public speaking. Be brief, baby, be brief. Okay, so don't get up here and give a big long spiel, but if you can share a verse that has impressed you, or something, answered prayer, something you've seen God do in your life, we invite you to plan for that on the 21st of November. Please, if you're planning to go or considering going to the Faith Walkers Conference, if you could let me know, I would appreciate that. And I think that's it. So Jonah's going to pray, and what? Oh, she has an announcement. No? You're not? You'll wait on it. Okay. Sorry.
Let's pray. Father, I remember the end of Psalm 23 that the North Korean woman began to recite, and I think of how it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me." And at the end it says, "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I thank you that that is true. I pray that our persecuted brothers and sisters will know that deeply in their hearts. I pray that we will carry that with us, that we will carry them with us and bring them before your throne. Thank you for blessing us today. Be glorified in us as we go from here, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.